Wherever you go in corporate America, there's always new ways that people try to get people's attention. So they try different methods to gauge how popular someone is. And one of the ways that they gauge someone's popularity in the corporate world is they hire a speaker or a comedian to come to an event where instead of lauding all the compliments and praises of the person that they're honoring, they sort of want to temper it down, and therefore they hire somebody to give the person a roast. And for those of you that are not familiar with that, it is basically a comedian or some low degenerate that gets up there and is paid to look for the faults of the carbon oilo standing in front of the person, and berabin, they say all the faults that could be wrong with this person. So much so that there have been stories, and unfortunately, you can imagine, there have been stories of people breaking down in tears, turning beet red, losing the color of their skin, fainting, and sometimes even suicide. Right after getting honored for whatever it was that they got honored for, it all came down tumbling within a few moments. That is a roast. And that's a very popular thing for some reason. Now, the question is, the title for tonight's class, this year, was to roast or be roasted. How so? If somebody comes over to you and says, you know, you're a very witty guy, you're somebody that's very quick-witted, and you have a sharp tongue, and we really like to hear what you have to say. Lay it on thick. We want to hear what you got to say about us. So you say, okay, fine, and you let it roll. And the person is dumbfounded. You really hurt them hard. And he said, you told me, give it my hardest shot. I did. But if somebody were to say that to you in a public setting, not only were they to say that to you in a public setting, they would force you to say it. Would you be mechuyev, would you be obligated to do that or not? Well, we have to go back and understand, first of all, what is the makar if a person could do that or not? If they could be mevaza somebody or not? We all are familiar, it's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Brachas that from Marzutra Bar Tovya, and some people say Rev Amarav, and they say Rev Chana Bar Bizna, Rev Shimon Chasida, Rev Yechra, Rev Shimon Shem Yechai, Noyach Laila Adam, it's better for a person, Shiap Alatzme Letech Kivshana Eish, Val Yalbim Pnei Chaver Barabim. Minolan, how do you know that? How do you know it's better to be thrown into a fiery furnace than to die, than to make fun of somebody Barabim? To let them lose the color from their face. Because it says in Heintike Parsha, he mutseis, she found. And this is referring to our Parsha here with Tamar and Yehuda. She said, this is the simonim, the different things that I have. Hakena, you should do that. And the Gemara in another place says, and Saita actually says, she says the words, hakena. Whoever this is, get the hint, please save me. Now, that seems to be a pretty clear raya. You should not do that. You should not destroy somebody's reputation just because you're put in an uncomfortable situation. So the question is, when the Gemara says, Noach Leila Adam, is that a halacha psuka? Or is that just an Eitz HaTaiva? It's a Midas Chasidus. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos in Leisase Shin Gimel, he says, a person should be very careful not to be Mevayish a person. And he lauds somebody who keeps themselves from saying sharp remarks towards somebody else. And such a person should be lauded for, says the Rambam. But he doesn't come out swinging for the fences saying that what you did was so wrong, it was a horrific crime that was perpetrated by you. He doesn't say that. He just says, you should be zahir, you should be careful not to do that. Seemingly, the Rambam is taking a very hands-off approach of saying that to be mevazi your friend and saying, listen, I'm not pointing to Rosh Hashanah, but I'm just saying, the honorable person who's sitting here, you might be a nice guy, but, and rip it into him, according to the Rambam, it's not something we do. The Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Lam and Chet, and the Rambam in Hilchos Deos says that also, that if a person also in Hilchos Deos Vav Ches says the same thing also, you should be careful. But again, he doesn't say it's Mamish Aser. In Chinuch, in both in Mitzvah Reish Mem and in Mitzvah Reish Shin Lamed Aleph, he brings down this same idea that says it's a good idea not to be mevaza people, because Neach Le'Otam, you get the idea. It's better to be thrown into a fiery furnace than to destroy someone's career.
Don't the sources refer to people who are embarrassing other people voluntarily?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. We're going to talk about that in a second. Thank you. By the way, please, you know, my father told me that one time my father was one of the 12 Bachram that went to Telstone with Rav Gifter Zatzal, and he told me that Rav Shach used to come every once in a while to the yeshiva to give a shir. And so Rav Shach said a vart, and after he finished saying the vart, he paused. So he said another vart, paused. He said another vart. He said, like, you didn't understand, like, what's going on over here? Everyone's here, no one's asking. No, am I really saying such good things that you don't want to brag up? So if I say something that rubs you the wrong way, don't worry, I've had Donnie over here could tell you, we've gone through a lot, so anything that you say, you could draw me on that. And you could attest to
that. That's exactly the topic of tonight's show.
That's the topic of tonight's, exactly, see? Thank you. So,
I understand one thing about the original Shaila. Oh, the original Shaila had to do with the subject of the thing was asking you to do it. That was part of your
question. So we're taking a step further. First of all, obviously you shouldn't do it. It says better to be thrown in a fiery furnace. But so we're going to say about that. What if you? But I was taking it a very high notch, which is someone forces you.
Forces you to do it to the other guy.
To the other, or to me, or even if it says, let's say, to me. He's sitting right there. Come on.
He's saying it about himself?
Yeah, no.
That's a different ending.
You think you know me well? Go ahead. You know, go ahead. Give your best shot.
Why is there no mechila aspect? He doesn't know what you're about to say.
I don't know. Can you be mechil somebody from hurting you? I mean, yeah, that's... did they have a shir yet on tackle football if it's kosher? We didn't have that yet. Okay, all right. It's a good one. That's a great shir, by the way. Ramosha, okay. Anyways, right? See that? Subliminal hinting for a future shir. Okay, anyways. So, the idea is that the Rambam and the Chinuch seem to say clearly, it's not a nice thing. That's not something we do. Don't do it. Okay, fine. All right. There's a lot of things, you know, we shouldn't do. So this is in that category. Okay. The problem with that is that Noach Leila Odom is a pretty strong statement. It's better for a person to get thrown into a fiery furnace. It's a pretty strong statement. I mean, you know, it's basically saying you should give up your life for that. So the Meiri, both in Brachos and in Saita, Meiri says, it's a derech tzachos, it's a derech ha'ora. We're saying noyach loy. He says, for example, the Gemara says, noyach loy la'odom shaloy nivra. It's better that you weren't created. Ashur shenivra. Now that you were created, yifashur shemashmesh. You know, it's better not to. And it's noyach loy, a person should be in a matzav of a boil of suffocation sish, and you shouldn't do another thing. It's basically a way to awaken you up. It's like a guzma ba'alma. It's just a way to wake you up. And therefore, Chazan wanted to catch your attention. How they catch your attention? They tell you, Noyachloi, it's better for you to do this. But it's not la'alacha. So clearly you see from the Rambam, the Meiri, and the Chinuch, they all say it's just a nice thing. Midas Chasidus. Which means if you're forced into a situation that you need to be mevaza somebody, you would be allowed to. It's not a Yehar Gval Yavar. It's not one of the big three. However, like most good Jewish cases, there's a machlekes. Taisvis in Saita, Taisvis says clearly, in Saita and Afyodom of Beis, Taisvis says that you would have a havamina that if that a person to be mevaza another person, Yodom of Beis, Nechle Ladom, your Maskel Nechle Ladom, he says you would actually think that you would not be allowed to be mevaza somebody else. You would have to get killed. But why don't we say that? Why is it part of the big three? It's not big three anymore, it's big four. I know that's a very painful reference for all you basketball fans here in Cleveland, and I'm very proud because I grew up in from Cleveland, Miami, whatever, Vame Vinyavin. But when you say the big three, what we're talking about is what I say, you take a gun and you have it pointed towards you, and the person says, I will shoot you unless you do this. So you tell him, aim. Go ahead, kill me, aim. Which is adultery, idolatry, murder. Aim. Go ahead and kill me. Adultery, gila rice, idolatry, avodah zarah, and murder. Ritzicha, you do that. Says Tosfos, if not for a special ribui akra in all three psukim, I would taka say that you should not be mevaza a person. Meaning, the svara of Tosfos is, doing halbanas panim, making fun of somebody, berabim, has the same category of that of all the big three. It should be the big four. But we don't have a pasuk for that. Meaning, it's going the way of being one of the gimel chamuras. Clearly, Tosfos is saying, it's mamash and iser. And that's not just Tosfos that says that. Rabbeinu Yoina, in Shari Tshuva, in Shari Gimel, when he talks about the different averis that Rachman al-Tzon, a person could do, he says, Avak Ritzichus. You know what Avak Ritzichus is? Avak Ritzichus is Habanas Pnei Chaver, Barabim. And he says, Kol Yardin Luganin Oilin Chut Mishloisha, Shiardin Vein Oilim, Amal Pnei Chaver, Barabim, Amakanashim Chaver, Abolish Eshesish. You're mamish for the X dimension. You're so low. They knock you down. You're not coming up. Maybe one could say, this is a Sova original right now, one could say that the possible Mida Kineg and Mida and what all these have to do with why, it's, I mean, you know, people do a lot of things. What's the shot? Because every person is Nivra B'Tselem Elikin. Mamash, a godly person, he's up there. And what did you do? You took the person, you smashed him down, threw him down, kicked him, destroyed him, stomped on him. You had no regard for this person. Took the Tselem Elikim and threw it down. Zakta Eivishter, we're going to do that to you too. You're going to be Yared L'Shal Tachtis, and you're not going to be Eile, you're down. All of those three, Amal B'nei Chavei Barabim, a person who's Baal Eishesish, or a person who's Mekan Hashem L'Chaver, you destroyed the person, you stepped on them, you literally ruined the person. You could potentially ruin a person. Such a person, we're going to throw you down. That's possible. But you see, from Taisus and Rabbeinu Yaino, it's Mamash and Isser. You're killing the person. Oh, but he's breathing? Just barely. You destroyed the person. Mamash destroyed. I said this a few years ago. And it was an unbelievable thing. Words can make or destroy people. I'll never forget, I was going through a very rough tkufa in my life, and I met a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in years. I met a friend of mine, and I was going in between jobs. I'm always, it was the weirdest thing. Things were not working out. I was thinking of a bunch of moments. Everyone has this nisayon that, you know, you go from job to job, you wonder, you start questioning yourself. So I bumped into a friend of mine, and I told him, I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing this and doing that. I said, you know, I'm going from one thing to another. I'm bouncing around like a ping pong ball. He said, you're not bouncing around like a ping pong ball. These places can't contain you. When I heard that, I told the person, I said, every time I met him, I said, you momish saved me. You have no idea. He totally changed my way of thinking. I was able to reframe everything. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, you're bigger than that. You're not in the playground anymore. It's time to move up in life. A lot of times we think, oh, okay, I'm comfortable. Hashem says, okay, you passed that, now it's time to move up. No, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You're going to be a lot better. I don't want you to be okay, Rishon says. I want you to be better. A lot of times he has to move us up, and we're just complacent with where we are. We need to be moved up. The place can't contain you. Words can have that capability of building up a Rachman al-Tzlan l'hepuch. The Binyan Tzion, the Neid B'Yehuda, in a tshuva, he was asked, I'm sorry? He was asked in Kofayin Beis, Nadav Yehuda was asked also about this idea of Halbanos Pnei Chaver Berabim, and he also comes out mamish swinging for their fences. We don't have time to go into it, Barichas, but he says this idea, you should have a look at it yourself, you want to see very, very sharp words, Kofayin Beis, and if anyone wants, I have copies of all the Maram Kaimis, so you can see it for yourself. So he says very clearly that a person should be so careful, because this is mamish from the Chamuris. A few weeks ago, I was giving a shir, and when I was giving the shir, somebody told me that their child does something which is very questionable on Shabbat. Okay, little hometown thing. On Shabbat. He said, what should we do? Kodarav, what should we do on Shabbat? Da, 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 my kid does this and that. I said, can I ask you a question? Typical rabbi, right? Can I ask you a question? If your child was about to pop in a candy that you knew used to be kosher, but it was discontinued, you know it's not kosher. It has real, real non-kosher products in it. Would you say, I can't stop you. I mean, you're so used to eating this candy. You know, I'm just going to let you eat it because I don't want you to get a tantrum. You say, no way. Get your hands off of that. What are you doing? What do you mean? I've been eating it all this time. You say, no. It's right. Whack. And you wouldn't care. Why? Because you know that you don't want your child to inculcate any ruach hatoma, no bad thing. Said, the problem is that you, when you hear that your child says, oh, I don't want to do it, you yourself don't view it as a problem. That's a problem. You have the problem. It's not your kid that has the problem. You don't think this is a problem. So you're like, it's okay. No, it's not okay. So if a person is able to understand that, able to understand what this is, they'll be able to reframe and understand that going to a place where they have a roast, It should be stopped. But if it's not going to be stopped, the most you can do is get up and walk out. Yeshlo didn't even be by such a place in the first place, but that's a different shmos. But the idea is that a person should be so careful about that to be part.
What if you're the Palm Chadasha?
Ooh, we went from corporate rule to Sheva Brachas now. Wow. Okay, Panim Chadoshes. Then I would ask the person to stop. I was at one of my chavrusa that I had in Lakewood for 5.5 years straight. I don't know if anyone else in this room could make a claim like that. Yeah, anyone? Anyone? Okay, 5.5 years? Okay, all right. Crickets in the background. 5.5 years straight. So he, this is a crazy story. When he got married, one of his best friends since childhood. They grew up in Brooklyn together. They were mamish the best of friends. So he told his friend, his childhood friend, he said, I want to be mechaved you to speak at my first Sheva Brachas. So his friend was all excited. Sweet guy, nice guy. So he gets up there. I wasn't there for the first Sheva Brachas. I only heard it afterwards. I was there at the second one. So the friend gets up there and he says, remember, it's a childhood friend, right? You can think what they're going to do. You know, we frolic together in the playground and did this and that and all these different meisim, right? The guy gets up there and says the following. Okay, remember, it's his kala. They've been married for one day, okay? He gets up there and he says, everyone here thinks they know Tzvi. That is his real name. Everyone here thinks they know Tzvi. But I want to tell you, Chevra, what Tzvi's really about. So Tzvi looks up and goes, wow, he's going to say something really good, right? He says, Rabbi Isa, this is a story that reflects everything about Tzvi. It was 3 o'clock in the morning in Ocean Parkway. And then he pauses and he looks at Tzvi. And Tzvi looks at him and goes, no, no. 3 o'clock. And he looks at it like, obviously the guy is completely tone deaf when it came to subtle hints. Because when he's like, no, right? Maybe he thought he had a twitch, I don't know what. He just kept on going. He goes, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, Ocean Parkway, in the Mir Yeshiva. You remember that? Yeah, Tzvi, you remember that. Are you looking away? But Tzvi, you remember that? It was 3 o'clock in the morning, Rabbi Isai. And right in Ocean Parkway, there was a Prusta advertisement. And every single day when we would walk by, we'd say, it's Mamish Gefelich. The B'nai Torah have to walk by here. They're thinking and learning. And they're looking at this. And we went at 3 o'clock in the morning. We smashed the advertisement. We sprayed. They painted it because we did not want people to chas v'shalom be nichshel in Hirhurim Raim. That Rabbi Isai is Tzvi. My friend told me his wife turned, leaned into him and goes, that's not really true, is it? Said, no. He's just being funny, right? But he told me, yeah, that was pretty brutal. But that was a Sheva Brachas, okay? That's a Ponim Chadoshes you don't want to have. But that's the idea. A person did that, he could have really wrecked up. I don't even know. I didn't even want to ask that friend what happened after that, the night after, what they were talking about. But the idea is that a person has to understand you have to be so careful with what you say. Saying Ponim Chadoshes and having that type of evil, you obviously try to stop that or minimize that. But the question is, now that we're tying this in, and you see, a person should not be thrown into, rather be thrown into kivshon ha'esh, and rather than die. The question is, so then, Tamar, what was she doing when she was doing this? When she was doing this with Yehuda, and she said, "Haker, no, please." After all, she's pregnant with two other children. She has an achrayis. What's she doing? Or at least she knew at least of one. So if you look at the Targum Yenisim and Ezeel, has an Arichas and he talks about what exactly Tamar did. You know what she did? I never saw this before. She davened. And because she davened, she changed around Yehuda's ability to now, before he was not going to, the Mashmai says he wasn't going to say anything, and now he did. Why? Because she davened. Had she not davened, it would have totally changed. Person has to understand that they have to have a kayach tefillah. They say that there's a very famous story that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was always visited by Eliyahu HaNavi every evening. And the Gemara tells us a story that one evening, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was not visited by Eliyahu HaNavi. And he wondered, what happened? So he dove into the Rebbe Shlom, he said, I need Gilui Eliyahu, come, at least tell me why you're not coming. Did I do something wrong? Eliyahu said, yes, you did do something wrong. What was that? He said, a few days ago, there was a man who was a treifa, that means he was about to go. He ran into your kehila, and a mob of non-Jews came running in saying, give us that man. And there's Yerushalmi and Trumas that says that if a bunch of guys come in and they say exactly a certain person, they point him out, say, give us this man, otherwise we'll kill everyone. you're mechuyev to give over that person, says the Yerushalmi Trumas. Why? Because he's a dead man walking. He was somebody that was already zeroed in, that he's dead. People have, they already know who they're going to kill. So you're protecting a dead man. He's gone. So, for sure, this person who ran into your kila, he was a treifa, they zero it on him. He's a dead man walking. So what did Rishu ben Levi do? He paskin, they have to do a mesira, give him over, protect the rest of the kila. And they killed him. Says Eliyahu Novi, I'm not coming to you because I'm upset at you. I'm fatinated at you. I fatinated you. Said, tina on me. What did I do wrong? It's offered to Yerushalmi and Trumas. It's like Shevin ben Bichri. I gave him over. He was a dead man walk. It's a mom. He's a Yerushalmi. What did I do wrong? Says the Gemara, Mishnas Chasidimi. What does that mean? So the Farshim says that you should have done better. What do you mean should have done better? What should I have done? Answer is, you should have davened. You should have davened. If you would have davened, you would have changed the whole trajectory. You would have changed and made a new metzias. Because you accepted the fait accompli, therefore, it became a fait accompli. That was it. They came in, they killed him. You thought he was a dead man? They say a story with the Brisker Rav. Everyone, I'm sure, knows the story, but that when he was the Rav in Brisk, the original Brisk, and when he was a Rav in Brisk, one time they had to catch a person. It was a whole story. You should read the story in the Brisker Rav books. Fascinating read. And the Brisker Rav, he was standing and waiting because they were waiting for him to finish Mene Esrei, because afterwards they were going to ask him for a certain man deserted the army, and basically he waited them out. He davened a longish Mene Esrei, longer than any Rosh Hashiva you could ever imagine. He was davening and davening and davening. He was just to do that, to waste time, so that way they would, the mandate, they had to have him thrown in a prison by a certain time. The bottom line is that he said, not only the kayach tefillah, me standing, but the actual tefillah, I was davening for this yid. When you daven, you can mamish change a metzias in something. So the question is somebody mechuyev to give up their life, or to, you know, basically take the brunt, be roasted themselves, in order to save somebody else? So, there is a famous Chuvas Ridvaz. The Ridvaz, who lived in the 1600s, their story goes is that I think this happened in Constantinople in Turkey. So back in those days, during the Ottoman Empire, the people there were based on Sharia law. And according to Sharia law, somebody who steals must get their hand cut off. Okay? Which is why, by the way, they do beheadings nowadays, because everyone's thinking. So therefore they have to cut off their head. So you do something with that aver, they want to sever that. So the point is that the hand that steals is the hand that must get cut off. Okay. Well, what happened was, a Jew, he stole something. And before the authorities could nab him, he was able to elude them, and he escaped. Now, they knew he was a Jew. I don't know how. I'm saying what the story was. They knew he was a Jew. So what did they do? They grabbed an innocent Jew who happened to be standing on the side of Israel, minding his own business. They grabbed him, incarcerated him, and then they sent a message to the Jewish community and said, please give us this person, because if you don't, we are going to kill our person here. So let him come, get his arm chopped off based on the law, and then we'll let him go, missing an arm, and he will go to his family. So they asked the Ridvaz, what should they do? And that's in Elef, Nun Beis, Tafresh Chav Zayin. You could look there in Chelek Gimel, the fascinating tshuva. And the Ridvaz says the following, Be'enai ra'isi, with my own eyes, I saw that they one time had to condemn somebody to death. So what they did to make a lesson out of this person, they took a tiny pin and plucked his ear, and they used anticoagulant agents around that area of where the wound was, and the person bled to death. A tiny little prick. And they bled to death. So, if they cut off your hand, what's to say that they're not going to strike an artery? I mean, they're telling you they're just going to cut off the hand. You might bleed to death. So, chayecha kaidmin, your life comes before the other person. So that we know, first of all, you're taking that risk. That's number one. Number two is, they're telling you that if you come and you get your hand sliced, then they're going to let him, they're going to leave. How do you know they're going to keep their word? You don't know. What's holding them to that accountability that they're going to listen to what they said to you? You don't know. Based on all that, the Ridvaz says the person is not mechuyev to put himself in a suffix sakana for yanim, for another person. Fascinating Ridvaz. So if that's the case, then are you mechuyev to, you see clearly, you're not mechuyev to give up your life for somebody else. And By the way, that thing that I told you with Eliyahu HaNavi, with Rabbi Shmuel Levi, that was the Chazon Ish in Siman Chaf Hei, in Chashim Mishpat or Sanhedrin, I tried to find that, I couldn't find that. Most of this year is based on the Michas Asher. Unbelievable. Mamash, Bikiyas HaCharifus. The problem with that is that when we learn a halacha like that, we're quick to condemn. If we see somebody do something, we're going to jump in and say, hey, don't do that, you shouldn't do that. So the question that therefore becomes very relevant, not just for in Panim Chadashis, wink wink, but it also comes relevant to if you are in a public setting. I couldn't believe this. There's a certain mechanech. I used to think of him as a well-respected mechanech till he said the following. You know, like I say, it's better to be thought of a fool than to speak and remove all doubt, right? Okay, so this person, I thought he was a very well-respected educator, and this person was a big mechanech. So I was shocked. He told me he has a rule. Everyone's got their rules. What's his rule? His rule goes as follows. You do something in public, you deserve to get served in public. Dahino. If, let's say, a rav, a rebbe, or a shiva, somebody, is giving a shir or saying some rules, and you get that one wise guy who makes a crack. So, since you did it for rabbim, you get manhandled for rabbim. So I told the person, I said, Hamal v'nei chaver b'rabin, you know, that's a serious thing. He said, no, that guy knew it. He knew he was going down. Because why else would he say something like that?
He's sending on the Rambam, right?
I agree with this rabbi.
You agree with this rabbi?
100%.
Okay, Hanal. Okay, so if a person, we can talk later. If a person... If a person does something like that, that they do something barabin, and they are going to do that, they basically put themselves out, they understood that they took an inherent risk by calling out on the Rebbe, or the Reshiva, or whoever it might be, and they understood that their chutzpah would warrant a response.
You're not saying it's better for that individual, or you're saying it's better for the cop? Sometimes you gotta kill one kid to save everybody else.
That's where he was coming from. I think that's where he was coming from. Right. Yeah, yeah, he's the carbon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The kid, well, I don't know about that. I will tell you what I employed. I have a rule. Everyone's got their rule, right? I have a rule, which is you fight weirdness with weirdness, which is, and I did this to a kid one time. It worked wonders. A kid one time said something totally irrelevant to the material we were doing, and he did it. It was so nonchalant, so whatever. So I zeroed in on the kid, and then I started going even more random than he was. I was saying random stuff after random stuff after random stuff after random stuff after random stuff. And the kid was like stunned. I said, anyways, we left off in the Gemara. I just continued going. The kid was stunned. Because when you hit them on their own turf, they don't even know what to do. Because they're used to like, I'm going to be the smart aleck. You are the smart aleck. The smart?
This was in public.
This was in public. But it wasn't Mavazim. The kid, by the way, is very close to me, by the way. Sure. I didn't call him out and say, you, get up! Da, 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 da. I didn't do that. I said, oh, you want to talk about random stuff? We could. Let's talk about random stuff. So, the idea is that if a person does that, they have to be so careful. So now, Rabbi said, I'm going to tell you a Gemara we're all familiar with. We did this Gemara before. If we didn't, we should definitely do it very quickly. All right? Both Rabbi Singer and Rabbi Blazer are going to make sure you do this Gemara. Right? Okay? The Gemara is in Bava Metzia, Daf Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. We all know with Mar Zutra, they found a Ganav. They didn't know who the Ganav was. Okay. And then he saw someone using the clothes. Aha, you're the Ganav. Whoa. You're the Ganav. Sounds like he made a whole production out of it. Right? What's going on over here? He's Mevazim Barabim. And it sounds like he was wiping his hands. It sounds like b'chashay, like no one noticed. He said, you're not nizer kovid chavercha, with the kovid of your friends, of Yenim's money, you must be the ganav. But Rabim, how's he allowed to do that? So if you look, Afanot, the Meretz Chiyah says that the reason why Mar Zutra stepped, and Rashi says, since it wasn't his money, he was being teveyas, this person. So ask the Meretz Chiyah, how in the world did Rashi know it was not his? Says Rashi Maridik. He says, because a dayan can't have any negiyas. If it was his own money, he would say, oh, it's you! Get off of my money! Right? He would have with the extra oomph in it. But says Rashi, the fact that he jumped up and said, you're the ganev, Mar Zutra would do something like that. The teretz is, he has no negiyas. It's not my money. I'm jumping in. I'm stopping it. I see Yenim being ba'avim. I'm going to try to stop that. The Rav Yaakov Emdin of Hanard, he says that you can't be machmer of Yenim's geld. His own, he would have been mevater. I don't care. You wipe your hands. Who cares, you know? Like I told that one time. Somebody, that's happened a few times. I'm not saying you should do this with everyone. This is me. I might be unique. One time somebody accidentally sat on my hat, okay? Hats cost $300, okay? So somebody sat on my hat, completely smashed it. This wasn't like one of those skinny, like bar mitzvah bochrim, you know, who you could, and they move, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about a guy, right? A gavra, okay? He sat on my hat, flattened it. The guy got up. I don't know how he even noticed that he was sitting on something, honestly. But he got up and goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I flattened your hat." I picked up the hat. I popped it up. I said, "It's black rabbit fur. Don't worry about it." He said, "Wow, that's amazing." And by the way, if we look at that too, a car, piece of plastic, used to be a piece of metal, piece of plastic with some rubber tires. I mean, you know, just chill out. Life's not so bad, you know. Chill out. Take it a little easy. So you could say that about yourself. But if somebody does it to somebody else, don't worry about it. It's just black rabbit fur. It's okay. It's okay if you sound there. Don't worry.
Why are you allowed to correct the ball code?
That's not a poshut thing. I will tell you, by the way, that Ray Belsky, who is Mamasher Gain, anyone who's ever spoken to him, he's Mamasher Gain. So, in the Kail of Miami Beach, I was one time dominating there, and they had no Balkari. So they asked me to lane. I said, okay, fine. So I'm laning. As I'm laning, I started to stop a little because I was trying to remember the trup and the words, whatever. He started correcting me as he got the aliyah. He was Levi, so he started correcting me as I felt so intimidated, you know? Somebody who knows he knows everything. He's like, you know, like you're saying the words with me. So that, I guess, is bechashoy. But when you correct somebody like that, that's not a poshut thing. And a chanami, you're right. But you could say, he knew when he came into this place, we're going to hold him to task, right? He knew he's going to walk in. We're going to give him a rough time. So you could say the same thing also. So, in conclusion, I'd like to just conclude and sum up what we just said, the machlekes, and then leave you with a haflatik of vard, and hopefully a tie into Hanukkah. So, again, the question was, midas chasidus versus a lav in the Torah, what is it? We have the shita of the Rambam, the Chinuch, the Meiri, that say it's an eitz taiva, not nice, it's not something we do, yeah. Which means that if your back is against the wall, you would have to do it. However, we have the other shitas, which is Taisus or Ben Yaina, Ben Yantzian. There's also a Tashbatz that says that as well. Rashbatz that says it as well. That a person is mechuyif to give their life up. It's mamash avazrayat or tzicha. You cannot do it. We discussed the idea of the Ritvaz. It says you're not mechuyif to put yourself on the line of getting your hand chopped off. So for sure this. And we discussed the Chazon Ish, that a person could change the matziv. Mamash changed the matziv by being mispala. We said that was what Tamar did. She changed the entire matziv by being mispala. And she changed it. And we discussed the idea that if you do see somebody doing something barabim, like we saw with Mar Zutra, the reason why he was able to take the person to task was because he had no negius, and also he was able to be mevater because it was not his. So I'd like to leave you off with a second sofa original, which is the following. I think this is a trap. How did Tamar know this halacha? How did she know that it's better to be thrown into a kitchen ha'esh than to be mevasa somebody? How did she know that? And furthermore, the wording makes no sense. Kitchen ha'esh, you just hang your out. We know that strefa is not, you know, we don't do an ado de fe, that we just light them up. We heat up a bunch of pieces of lead, open the hatch, throw it right down, right? Burns from the inside. So, what's going on? Kivshana Aish, what's going on? Kivshana Aish, what's going on? So, Rabbi Isa, I think this is Amitha's player. What is this? Who was Tamar? The Omer Rosh says, Bashem, that's why she deserved to get Srefa. Baskayan is Mizana, get Srefa. Okay, so follow along. Tamar is the daughter of Shem. Who was Shem? Malki Tzedek, Melech Sholeh, Hoitzi Lachaviyoy. Malki Tzedek, says Rashi, was a Kain Lekel Elyon. He was Shem. Why did he come out and greet Avram Avinu after the Muhammad between the four and five kings? Why did he come out with Lachem B'Yayin? Says the Medrash. Because he said, Avram Avinu, I never believed it was Shaykh that a person that could go against Nimrod HaRasha, who was Mam Shalit Al Kol Olam, and could be Yorad Lekivshana Esh, come out alive, unscathed. I didn't think it was true. I thought it was a legend. They made up something about you. Until the Melchama of the Dalet and Hamelachim, and you killed my own sons, which sounds like they were warriors. He couldn't believe that. Avraham Avinu sounds like killed his own sons. I want to show you that I'm not in any way upsetting you, and now I believe in you, Limafreya. Retroactively, I will now believe in you. I'm Kana Medrash. So it comes out. This is my imagination now, going into high gear. After he gives the Melachim the Ayin, He comes back and he sees his daughter Tamar and says, Tamar, do you know who I just met? Who did you meet? I met Avram ben Terach. You know who he is? No. They say a legend about him. He got thrown into Kivshon HaEsh, in a fiery furnace. Do you know why he got thrown into a fiery furnace? No, why? Because he loved Hashem like his best friend. He would not embarrass Hashem. When Nimrod said, bow before me, embarrass Hashem, he said, I'm not embarrassing Hashem. I'd rather be thrown into a Kivshon HaEsh. Let me go throw in. So they threw him in. And I didn't believe such a thing was possible until I see later on he was able to arrive unscathed. Nothing was able to stop him. This is a holy man. This is a man of God. This is somebody that only Hashem will protect. So therefore, my Taira Tachtala, Tamar, let me tell you, you are now on the same planet as a very, very important person. His name is Avram Avinu. Try to get yourself into that family. That's a great family. Why? Says because it's mutu, it's noyachle l'adam, it's better for a person to be thrown into a kipshon ha'esh, like Avram Avinu, mamash, those words, than to be malvim pnei chaver berabim, like Avram Avinu, who saved the honor of Hashem. That was his best friend. You hear the lesson I'm telling you? That is such a profound lesson. It comes out that Tamar, she was able to understand this idea from her father. It happens many times, whether we're at home, we're at work. People look up to us, and sometimes we ourselves, we say or do certain idiosyncrasies that we're like, whoa, I sounded like fill in the blank. But I sound like somebody. Why? It's like the Rambam says, a person is mushpa from their surroundings. When you come home and you sit down and instead of opening up a sefer, you open up a magazine, you open up another publication, and then you conk out, you just send to your kids a very powerful message, which is, I only have enough time to read a magazine. I don't have enough time to read a Dvar Torah. I don't have enough time to pay attention to you. I'm not saying that people should, pull stuff out, but you give the attention, give something to your family that they're able to hold on to. Give them lessons. You think they're not listening? They are listening. They are listening nice and well. And your coworkers, I have a friend of mine, his father used to work in an insurance company. He told me one time, every time he walked into a meeting, everyone would be like hovering around like the meeting, or they'd be near the water cooler. Instantaneously, they'd be talking and suddenly they would stop. So imagine you do that every time. You're like, no. Everywhere you go, everyone's stopping. Like, is there something wrong? So you turn over to one of the guys who's very simple. He's like, is this office anti-Semitic? Like, why are they stopping talking? He said, anti-Semitic? No! You're from the children of Hashem, from God. We don't want to talk anything inappropriate in front of you. That's amazing. He didn't even think of it that. He told you, like, I'm just, what do you mean I'm one of the guys? No, you're not. You're not one of the guys. You're held to a higher standard. We expect more from you. And that's why we don't want to talk. We don't want to be too loose with you. It's the same thing also, wherever we are, people look up to us. How many Jews are there in the world? How many from Jews are there in the world? How many Torah true Jews are there in the world? You could do the math. And from based on all of that, all those numbers, you understand we're like miyuta de miyuta de miyuta, but we're the ones that count. And that's the idea. The idea is that if a person understands the power that they have, just like a Tamar was able to inculcate this value that Shem gave, it's the same thing about Hanukkah as well. All we're doing is we're lighting a little light. What's the big deal? That's Persumanes. That is the light that you're leading for others to light up the darkness. We think it's just a light for ourselves. It's not a light for ourselves. It's a light for the whole world. Be'ez Hashem, the next time we come together should be Be'ez Hashem, the Chatzos Kodshecha, and the Binyan Be'ez HaShlishi, B'mher V'Yameinu, Amen. Thank you for inviting me.